League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Okay, welcome back to Tip TV. We're here with Craig Erdem, who's Senior Market Analyst at OANDA. How are you today, Craig?
I'm very good, thanks. How are you?
Well, it's not the same without you, you know, here in the studio and, you know, being within spitting distance, but at least we can speak to you here. What markets are standing out for you at the moment?
Well, I think it's going to be all about the pound today. Of course, we've got the inflation report hearing from Mark Carney, so I think there's going to be a lot of focus on what stimulus actions they're potentially going to take on forward. I think there's going to be a big grilling in relation to Brexit. Of course, the Treasury Committee made up of both Brexiteers and those voting to remain. And I think there's going to be a lot of questions about why the economy hasn't gone off course in quite the way he anticipated, and why they took such strong policy action so quickly after the event, when clearly the economy is not doing too badly in these early stages. And I think there's just going to be a lot of back and forth in relation to Brexit, but he's probably going to play down the need for further stimulus now over the next few months, given that the economy is outperforming expectations.
Craig, it's Mike Ingram here. Undoubtedly, he's going to come in from a great deal of stick from the Treasury Select Committee, particularly from Jacob Rees-Mogg. We know that's going to be a bit of a dust-up. But isn't it going to sit rather awkwardly? Because I understand that not only will Mark Carney be there, but you're also going to have Kirsten Forbes. You're also going to have, I think, Ian McCafferty, who both voted against a reinitiation of the Bank of England's QE programme. And a lot of people saying, well, actually, this is not worth the candle. I mean, it'd be very easy for the committee to actually play them off against each other, isn't it?
I think it is, but I don't think the committee is going to be so naive as to fall for this. They may have voted against measures on this occasion, but it's not always the case. I do think Rees-Mogg is going to try and make a political issue of this and say that Carney's comments pre-Brexit and action post-Brexit were politicised. But I think the policymakers that we're going to see in front of the committee are going to be united in their belief that they are an independent body and nothing they said or did had anything to do with their position on Brexit or their beliefs on what would follow. The other thing which we've got to remember is we're now 2 months after Brexit. There's still plenty of a way to go, and I think Mark Carney's going to staunchly stand by his view that while the economy is performing better in the short term, their belief remains that the economy is going to face some difficulties down the road, and they were preempting their own forecasts of difficulties for the UK economy.
Right, so a preemptive move. Let's have a look at some of the markets that you've sent in. First is copper, and signs of a rebound here?
Potentially. It looks as though it is bottoming out. It found support around that 205 level. It's rebounded back towards about 210. I do think there is going to be some significant resistance between that 210, 211 level, potentially being supported at the moment by the weakness in the dollar following that jobs report on Friday and a couple of disappointing pieces of data already this week. I do think the downside pressure just still remains here. We may see a little bit of a retracement along the way, but the oversupply side, the oversupply story that we're seeing in copper still, we haven't seen the kind of transition that we've seen in oil, where the oversupply has been in any way dealt with at any stage. Of course, we saw things like supply disruptions in the oil markets over the last 12 months. We haven't really seen the same thing in copper markets. The same transition. So I think the downside pressure from that side is still going to continue. The demand, the doubts around demand, I think, are going to remain. So I think we could potentially see it move back towards those 210 to 11 levels, maybe even nudge a little bit higher. But I do think we are going to be seeing $2 in not too long. I do think $2 is going to be back on the table soon. And if we can see that level broken, then we could be looking significantly lower.
All right, let's go to the next market here. Which is gold.
Yeah, I mean, gold is just one of the... It's so correlated with the Fed that you can pretty much surmise the moves in gold based on what has happened over the last a few trading sessions. We've seen the rebound off 1300, which was a key support level for gold. We've seen it move back towards this 1350 levels, and I think this is going to be key now. We've got a number of resistance points around this 1350 level. The other thing as well with gold is it does tend to seem to move in these $50 blocks, so 1350 being a resistance level isn't exactly an enormous surprise. If we do see this broken though, on the belief that we've got this weak Fed position and we've got lower probability of an interest rate hike from the Fed, then I think we could be looking back towards 1400 in the short to medium term. If markets become convinced by the Fed, from Fed rhetoric, that a rate hike still remains on the table this year, then this 1350 may hold. And over the next few weeks, over the next couple of months, we could be looking back towards these $1,300 levels coming under a little bit more pressure again.
But hasn't the ISM data just killed the idea of a rate hike? I mean, there's just no chance now, is there?
Well, the Fed focuses on two things. They focus on employment, they focus on inflation. Inflation appears to be returning to target. The employment figures weren't great, but they weren't poor either. We had two very good months prior to that. I think there's aspects of the ISM number which were concerning, one of them being the employment side of things and new business, I think is another concern here in the ISM report. But I think overall, I think the Fed's looking at a broader range of indicators, and a lot of the indicators which they focus on as part of their mandate suggest that the economy is primed for a rate hike. And I guess this is one of the arguments for different targeting for the Federal Reserve, such as nominal GDP targeting, which takes into consideration growth and inflation rather than just inflation, because you've got half the data there that seems to support a rate hike and the other half seems to suggest it's the wrong time. So I think the Fed may push ahead with a rate hike this year, but obviously it looks like September is currently off the table, which is why we've seen this rebound in the markets.
Right, and finishing off with dollar-yen, which is one of my favourite crosses, especially when the Bank of Japan ends up with egg on its face. What's your call here?
Well, I guess when does the Bank of Japan seem to not end up with egg on its face, or the finance ministry at that point, constantly reminding us that they are going to do something to try and weaken the yen, and then nothing is done and the yen continues to strengthen. You start to wonder who's going to talk more and do less. Is it going to be the Bank of Japan or is it going to be OPEC? I think that's going to it's going to be interesting over the next few months to see which one actually acts on its intentions. But we saw it reach those 104.50 levels. 105, I think I highlighted in a previous interview, it was quite a significant area of resistance. We had the top of the Ichimoku cloud providing some additional resistance here, but it seems to have rotated back to the downside prior to hitting these levels, obviously again helped by Friday's jobs report. I think we could be looking back towards 100 level once again, barring any significant changes. Like I said, I think we're going to continue maybe to see dollar weakness over the next week or two in the lead up to the September meeting, when I don't expect any policy action from the Federal Reserve. And it doesn't look like the Bank of Japan is going to do anything anytime soon either. And while they continue to talk down, or try and talk down the yen, they're not really having much success with that. So I think there is potentially a little bit more downside pressure and a bit more consolidation to come in this pair.
Yes, Craig, I mean, to my mind, I mean, the Bank of Japan communications policy seems to have become a complete sham. I mean, it's just complete farce now. Because, I mean, earlier in the week, you had a key policy advisor to Shinzo Abe suggesting that the Fed might do the BOJ's work for us in helping to provide some relief for the yen via a rate hike in the US. Of course, that, as we've touched upon, seems to be off the table now. And at the same time, we've got Bank of Japan Governor Kuroda waxing lyrical about the cost associated with loose monetary policy. I mean, what, if anything, can we expect from the Bank of Japan on the 21st of September when it concludes its policy review?
Well, this is the difficult thing. Its back does seem to be against the wall now, and the fact that you've got policymakers talking about the cost, as you say, and hoping that the Federal Reserve will do its job for them, it's got to be a little bit of a concern when it comes to Japanese policymakers, because they clearly are very reluctant to do anything that would be seen as risky, overly unconventional, something that they've really unwilling to do. Negative rates was one of these that they were really unwilling to do. They tried it. They dipped their toe in the water here and the reaction wasn't very good. So I think they're going to be very reluctant to nip into more negative interest rates. In terms of government bond buying, they seem to be near the extreme levels that they can associate with this. They've looked into ETFs purchases, and the last batch of ETF purchases that they committed to the markets not only were they not blown away, they were extremely disappointed with the efforts which we saw from the Bank of Japan. It does get you wondering, what is it that they can do now that will both satisfy the markets and have the desired effect with the yen? And it seems that there's very little they can do, so they're going to have to get very creative in these policy meetings. Otherwise, I think we are going to see more a case of let the Fed do their job for them, which is something that they've, like I say, recently alluded to.
Craig Earlham, Senior Market Analyst at OANDA, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We'll be back after the break.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.